Welcome to Idaho Fish and Game's Hook and Bulletin Podcast, your weekly news roundup of hunting, fishing, trapping, and conservation stories from around the Gem State. Hosted by Fish and Game's Public Information Specialist, Connor J. Lease.
And welcome back, everyone, to Idaho Fish and Game's Hook and Bulletin Podcast. It's been a busy week for hunting, fishing, trapping, and conservation stories here in Idaho. This week on the Hook and Bulletin, we'll be talking about the 2024 and 2025 migratory game bird seasons, one steelhead's 500-mile journey from the ocean, and the do's and don'ts when it comes to caring for baby wildlife. But first, we're dusting off the fishing rod and going fishing. Old Man Winter has finally hit the bricks, and as the temperatures creep up, fish get a little more active, and Idaho Fish and Game stocking trucks start delivering more fish across the state. Maybe old St. Nick delivered a new fishing pole to a kid during Christmas, or your trusty old fishing rod has been stuck up in the rafters since last year. But either way, the time is here to get out on the water and try to catch some fish. Spring fishing is an exceptional opportunity for new and seasoned anglers wanting to get back on the water with their friends or families. Trout are a favorite quarry in early spring because they remain active year-round, but they perk up as water starts to warm after the cold winter. Fish and Game stocks tens of thousands of trout for anglers every month, and spring and early summer are the busiest time of year for hatchery crews. But trout aren't the only type of fishing available. Warm water fishing can bounce back remarkably fast with a streak of warm, sunny weather, and many other species such as perch, crappie, and bluegill become very active during spring. A good rule of thumb is fish like warming or stable weather during spring, but fishing tends to fall off when there's a cold spell. With so many fishing opportunities near Idaho's cities and towns, spring is a good chance to check out your local waters. Speaking of local waters, if you still haven't decided on where you want to go, or are new to fishing altogether, we've compiled a sturdy list of fishing destinations in every region in the state. No matter where you live, there's bound to be a top-notch fishery in your backyard. Catch rates may differ depending on temperatures and other environmental factors. Idaho is a geographically diverse state, where some lakes might still have a little ice on the edges while others are practically boiling with hungry, active fish. So, check the fishing report and check out this year's list of great spring fishing spots now on our website. All right, moving on to migratory game birds. Okay, in last week's episode, I promised I'd revisit this one, so here we go. During its conference call on April 17th, the Idaho Fish and Game Commission set the 2024-2025 migratory game bird seasons, including waterfowl, mourning dove, American crow, and sandhill crane. Because it was a special meeting of the commission, no public comment or question opportunities were held during the meeting. And for the most part, seasons are largely unchanged from last season. Remember, Idaho's waterfowl seasons are set within frameworks established by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service after they consult with all state fish and wildlife agencies. Federal frameworks do not allow duck seasons to extend beyond January 31st, the Canada goose season beyond February 15th, or the light and white-fronted goose season beyond March 10th. While the federal framework for Canada geese was expanded to February 15th this year, Fish and Game did not recommend modifying the season structure. Results from a goose hunter opinion survey that will be conducted later in 2024 will be used to inform the season structure in future years. For 2024 and 25, the Fish and Game Commission approved the maximum allowed number of hunting days and bag limits allowed by that federal framework for most species. In 2019 and 20, Fish and Game conducted mail and web-based surveys to obtain input from hunters on how to structure migratory game bird seasons and zones within the confines of the federal framework. This information has been used to guide Idaho waterfowl seasons and zone configurations for the 2020 through 2025 seasons, and was used to develop proposals for 2024 through 2025 migratory game bird seasons, and the 2022-2025 duck zone configurations. So rather than go over every season approval specifically, I will include a link to this story in the description, so those of you who are interested in seeing next year's seasons can do so at your leisure. All right, time to talk about baby wildlife. It's officially spring, folks, and that means the peak of baby wildlife season is in full bloom. And it doesn't matter whether you're a backwoods hunter, hiker, bird watcher, or sidewalk stroller. People are bound to see young wildlife when they venture outdoors during the spring and early summer. And there's a pretty good chance that they will see a baby animal, including goslings, ducklings, and fawns, that appear to be alone with mom nowhere in sight. Enter the well-intentioned human. While it might be a good Samaritan's first instinct to rescue these adorable, fuzzy, and seemingly helpless creatures, Fish and Game has a simple suggestion to people who discover baby animals that appear to be abandoned. The best thing you can do for them is to leave them be. Every spring, we receive calls from well-intentioned humans who claim to have, quote-unquote, rescued baby animals that they assume were lost, abandoned, or orphaned, and these calls have already started rolling in. While these folks typically mean well, the sad reality is they are often doing more damage than good when they intervene, and typically, mom was not far away to begin with. Here's the hard truth. Animal parents will periodically leave their young for an extended period of time, for a myriad of reasons, whether it's to search for food, to get some shut-eye, or to divert attention from their vulnerable offspring, especially if they sense danger. Remember, when it comes to wildlife babies, wildlife mothers know best. Mammals such as deer, elk, and pronghorn routinely leave their young in a secure location, like a clump of sagebrush. It is totally normal for them to go off and feed and then return later, sometimes several hours later, to quickly feed their young, then leave again. The young animals know instinctively to remain still and wait for their parent to return. The same goes for flying critters. As baby birds mature, they often leave the nest in their effort to hone their flying skills. Adult birds continue to feed their offspring until a point in time when their young can survive on their own, even if they fall out of a nest. If you find a baby bird, duckling, gosling, deer fawn, or other critter, the best approach is to leave it undisturbed. Then, if you wish, contact your nearest Fish and Game office. Idaho Fish and Game employees are happy to take calls about apparently orphaned or injured animals, or answer your questions and, when it is absolutely necessary, retrieve animals. In addition, do not plan to raise wild animals on your own. Young wild animals require special care and feeding that is beyond what the average household is prepared to manage. Additionally, taking most species from the wild to raise in your possession is illegal in Idaho. In the spring, when the wildlife baby boom is at its peak, you may have the good fortune to observe a nest of birds or a litter of young mammals with no adult in sight. Enjoy the sight, but remember, it is best to leave young wildlife alone. Living in the midst of Idaho's vibrant and diverse wildlife populations can be one of the most rewarding aspects of life in our state. Be sure to check out our Living with Wildlife webpage to learn more. The page features all kinds of helpful tips on how to properly coexist when living among wildlife. Okay, here's a story you're not gonna believe. It's the time of the season when adult steelhead are actively returning to their birthplace to spawn the next generation of fish. Steelhead are anadromous fish, meaning they are born in freshwater and migrate to the ocean as juveniles, where they grow into adults before migrating back to freshwater to spawn. Earlier this month, one female steelhead was captured at one of our fish weirs on the East Fork Potlatch River and was later released upstream to spawn. Fishery staff previously captured the same fish as a juvenile at one of the habitat restoration sites in the East Fork Potlatch River back in 2020. At that time, she was only about 6 inches in length. Now, she's clocking in at over 30 inches. Head on over to our website and read more of this story if you want to see pictures for yourself. Based on pit tag detections, we can track this fish's migration to the Pacific Ocean and her return trip back to Idaho. From this data, biologists know she migrated to the ocean in 2021 and stayed there for the entire year in 2022. You can also see a map which highlights this epic journey online. The fish was first detected at Bonneville Dam in July of 2023 and took approximately 2 months to reach Lower Granite Dam. She then spent the winter in the Clearwater River and then completed her spawning migration this spring. All in all, this fish traveled over 500 river miles and navigated past 8 dams to return to her birthplace in the East Fork Potlatch River. Just when you think nature can't get any neater, it goes and does this. Okay, last major story of this week. We're heading to the Upper Snake region to talk about some unfortunate moose news. Idaho Fish and Game recently investigated a recent surge in moose mortalities across its Upper Snake region. Upon examining the dead animals, Fish and Game suspected adenovirus hemorrhagic disease, or AHD. So far, 16 moose calves, one adult moose, and three mule deer mortalities have shown symptoms of the disease. One fawn mule deer mortality from late February had laboratory testing confirm AHD, and samples from the other mortalities are currently at the lab for testing. AHD is caused by a virus which can infect a variety of deer species, including elk and moose. The disease was first discovered in 1993 in black-tailed deer in California. Although a different disease, AHD is similar to epizootic hemorrhagic disease, or EHD, which recently affected white-tailed deer populations in Idaho's Clearwater region. Unlike EHD, AHD can occur any time of the year and is spread through nose-to-nose contact, and all deer species are susceptible to the disease. Fawns and calves that contract AHD generally have a very high mortality rate. Adult animals often have a much lower mortality rate, but depending on their viral load, can still perish from the disease. If you're wondering if humans can get it, the answer is no. Only members of the deer family can contract AHD, so there is no concern of humans or domestic animals getting it. However, humans handling carcasses of potentially sick wildlife should always wear gloves and eye protection and keep pets away from the carcass. Unfortunately, there is no treatment for AHD once an animal shows clinical signs, and no preventative methods are available that can be applied to wild populations of deer. Our staff are working to assess the extent of the outbreak and implement measures to mitigate its impact on wildlife, largely by removing infected carcasses to prevent further spread. Fish and Game is urging the public to report any sightings of sick or deceased deer, elk, or moose to facilitate ongoing monitoring efforts. With that, it's time for the Rapid Fire Bulletin. On April 18th, Idaho Fish and Game removed a young adult male mountain lion from a North Pocatello neighborhood off of Hawthorne Road. At approximately 7 a.m. on Thursday morning, a Fish and Game conservation officer was contacted by the Pocatello Police Department regarding a mountain lion in a tree. The cat left that tree and ran up a second tree on a different street, where it remained until Fish and Game personnel arrived. Fish and Game staff and Pocatello police worked collaboratively with others on the scene to keep the 90-pound lion treed until the Fish and Game immobilization team arrived. The lion was darted, ear-tagged, and after recovering from the sedation, was released to a remote southeast Idaho location. Though reports of lions in towns are not frequent, they do happen. Many of Pocatello and Chubbuck's neighborhoods are built in the urban wildland interface shared with wildlife, where wildlife will even move into and through town. In this case, it was likely that the young adult lion was seeking prey like urban deer, marmots, or even pets. For tips about living and recreating in lion country, check out Idaho Fish and Game's brochure called Living with Mountain Lions, which can be found at regional Fish and Game offices or online. A public open house has been scheduled to discuss a proposed boat ramp project on the main stem Snake River below McTucker Creek in Bingham County. The open house will be held on Wednesday, April 24th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Southeast Region Idaho Fish and Game office, located at 1345 Barton Road in Pocatello. Members of the public are welcome to stop by anytime during the open house. Representatives from the Bureau of Reclamation and the Idaho Department of Fish and Game will be sharing information about the proposed project, as well as taking comments and questions from the public. And also taking place in the Southeast region, Crystal Springs Pond will be slowly drawn down beginning Tuesday, April 23rd, to help with repairs to Edwards Road near Springfield Fish Hatchery. This fishery, located in Bingham County, is a popular family fishing water and typically supports year-round trout fishing. Anglers should be aware that fishing will be impacted at Crystal Springs Pond for at least a week, depending on repair progress, and anticipates refilling the pond again by May 3rd, at which time it will be stocked with rainbow trout to provide spring fishing opportunity. Most of the fish currently living in the pond are expected to still survive in the outlet. Therefore, a salvage order is not being issued at this time. For additional information, please call the Southeast Regional Office in Pocatello at 208-232-4703. Okay, that's it for this week's stories. It's time for our question of the week. This week's question comes to us from listener Debbie Jones. Remember, if you got a question you want answered, send a note to podcast@idfg.idaho.gov. Debbie asks, what purpose do the bumps at the base of deer antlers serve, and what are they called? Good question, Debbie. The small bead-like structures that form in rows along the antler beam are used like a rasp to make rubs along trees. These bumps are known as pearls. The amount of and prominence of pearls is a good indicator of nutrition among deer species. If they're absent or faint, the buck probably had a nutritional problem during its antler development. That's all the news we have for this week. Thanks for putting an ear to Idaho Fish and Game's Hook and Bulletin. If there's something on your mind, or if you got a question related to fish and game matters, feel free to drop us a line at podcast@idfg.idaho.gov. Again, that's podcast@idfg.idaho.gov. Thank you so much for listening, folks. We'll catch you next week.